It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Felcia, welcome to the Village Oak Tree once again. I'm your host, Terrence O'Donnell. Thank you for joining me. This week, I want to talk some more about all the chaos taking place across the United States. Some positive news, not much, but a little, and a call to action for any Americans who still believe in democracy. Once I finish with my essay, I would ask everyone to stick around through my commercial break to hear another chapter of The Priest by Michael Campy. So come, pull up a chair. Let me try to push you into revolting against the government, something the Irish are famous for, going back centuries. So let me go here. I've got a lot of articles that I picked up here. So as we know from mainstream news, Israel started bombing the Palestinians in Gaza again after a couple of weeks ago and killed hundreds, including over 200 children. The other side of the coin is that while the IDF is carrying out the genocide again, Israeli protesters are still making a lot of noise for Netanyahu to be replaced. Then we have this report from the Middle East about Mossad trying to find a new home for the Palestinians once Israel finally managed to ethnically cleanse them and move them to Africa. So let me pull this article up here for you. So what they want to do is the United States and the UK are trying to broker a deal where they can send the Palestinians to this little breakaway region that they want to become a country called Somaliland. They're trying to get recognition on the world stage, fighting with Somalis and their bigger brothers, and it's been ongoing for a while. But of course, this was rejected initially. And I've got another article here also that talks about this. And I'll bring this one up. And I got both of these articles. This one, they're both from The Cradle. And here's the thing. As we know, the colonial countries of the U.S. and U.K. will do anything to help Israel out. And Israel is desperate to clean these people out of Palestine and take over the countries, I can't really call it a country. They want to be, but, like anything else. So there's the problem. The people in Somaliland and Somalia in general, they can't afford to take all of these refugees. So maybe this is where the USK and the US and UK are going to step in with Israel's help. Israel will do all the sweeping up and transporting, and the United States and UK will pay for it, sending them all down to Somaliland. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. So there is also some good news, maybe. Hamas has agreed to another attempt at a ceasefire brokered by the Egyptians with the offer of releasing another five hostages. Will Israel sabotage this one too? Probably. They're now demanding that Hamas leave Gaza altogether, since Hamas is Gaza, or at least what's left of it, is just another way of, say, ethnic cleansing of Gaza. Meanwhile, the slow ethnic cleansing of the West Bank continues. The Western world is moving on to a degree now, with the EU states gearing up for war with Russia, fears of the new Trump tariffs, and dealing with increasing protests over the funding of war in Ukraine, and without the U.S., again, the U.S. is backing off from doing anything in Ukraine. There's been a lot of reports how they're still supplying intelligence, but they're pulling back with money and equipment, so on and so forth. So one of my favorite YouTubers, a young Austrian woman, likes to give everyone updates on what's going on over there in Austria, and it's looking grim for the Europeans trying to get by on a day-to-day basis. much like in the U.S., only for different reasons. This is also being corroborated by German global news outlet Deutsche Welle, or DW News, which I do watch now and again, more so here lately. I have one climate change article that brings home just how divided the U.S. is over nearly everything now. This is one that I found, the Water Wars, and let me bring that up here for you. Water is the new oil, as Texas cities square off over aquifers. You know, the thing is, as I said, you know, the Americans have become divided. And, you know, when you have a shortage of something and a lot of people want it, then they're going to find a way to take it from somebody else. And this is, article is about one such instance. And again, I'll put these all these articles will be in the links, and you can read it for yourself. You know, I got it from Inside Climate News. And the problem is, this article is a bellwether event that we should all pay attention to. We've heard about this water war stories and between California and Arizona. Well, now we have Texas getting in the mix, where you have an aquifer in East Texas, and then they're fighting over it between Central Texas and East Texas. And you're going to see a lot more of this coming. So now let's move on to other stuff here in the U.S. The U.S., or should I say Donald Trump and his executive branch henchmen, are getting themselves into more and more trouble nearly every day now. More and more courts are seeing lawsuits being filed against this illegal and unconstitutional executive orders. Remember what I said last week. Trump thinks that every executive order he signs automatically becomes law as soon as he signs it, or so he thinks. I have a lot of news stories about the executive branch and, most notably, the DOJ and Homeland Security now running around the country, snatching people off the streets, invading homes and businesses, and so on, without warrants or criminal charges levied against those foreign students and scholars they're taking and disappearing down in Louisiana and Texas, despite court orders telling them no. So let me bring you up my first article here. This one is about a Russian scientist. So I'll read this to you. Russian scientist working at Harvard detained by ICE at Boston Airport. This is Boston's Logan Airport. It's not just students and scholars. It's arbitrarily detaining anyone they don't like, trying to enter the country at airports and shipping them down to the jurisdiction of the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court, which is notorious for denying people appeals brought before them for immigration and visa or green card violations. In other words, ICE is deliberately shipping foreigners they snatch without warrants or charges out of the districts they're living into, this hard right-wing district down south, against judges' orders. Remember what I said last week about these detention centers down there, according to the young Canadian woman who wrote about her two-week detention. They are some of the worst hell holes to be incarcerated in. Only the U.S. does this in the developed world. And I've got plenty of these articles, so let me kind of roll through some of these here for you. As we can see, this is one I talked about last week. This Indian scholar, she fled the United States, self-deported herself to Canada. She feels let down. And then she says in here, well, I want to come back to Colombia someday. Yeah, good luck with that. I don't think you're ever going to, you know, I'm going to tell this young lady, move on. You can find a better college here. I mean, seriously. And then this one here, I have this one. This one talks about all the different students that, you know, and then there's other ones here. I got another one. They snatched a student out of Minnesota. And, you know, they didn't even talk about who this person is. They just snatched him off the street here. And then there's, you know, I've got this one here. So let's talk about this a little bit. So Americans have a long reputation for treating those they don't like with utter disdain or inhuman treatment. Does anyone remember what the U.S. Army soldiers did to prisoners in Abu Ghraib, Iraq in 2004? Does anyone remember what George W. Bush authorized his special interrogators to do with people they captured in relation to the plane bombs in 9/11? Something he called enhanced interrogations using black sites around the world. This is the type of people we have snatching people off the streets and from their apartments and homes to disappear into one of these dungeons where they are given minimal food that is usually spoiled, making the detainee sick. If any of them should need any medicines for illnesses, so sad, too bad. They don't care if any of the people in their care die. They're foreigners, so they don't matter. Just one less mouth to feed. They're detaining scientists, students, scholars, doctors on the slightest or even made-up reasons now. All because Trump has told them they can't. He's telling his personal militia, don't worry about the law. I'm the only law you need to worry about. The Constitution doesn't matter as long as I'm in charge. On top of all that, we had the Secretary of State revoking visa applications like crazy, according to him. And that's this article that I got right here. Rubio Post canceling a war 300 visas for pro-Palestinian protests. Well, how are they getting, how do they know all these people are pro-Palestinian protesters? Well, as I said last week, they're using AI for one thing to screen social media. He thinks that they have revoking like crazy, according to him, calling anyone who even thinks about being sympathetic to Palestinians or critical of Israel lunatics for wanting to come to the U.S. now. Well, think about that. If you now, if you are a protester from, you're a protester in another country that have any kind of advocacy for the Palestinians, I would probably think twice about coming to the United States. And I'm going to say this over and over again. Trump's militia is now using facial recognition software on social media, CCTV systems to ferret out all of foreign students and faculty across the country who may have participated in campus protests, supported the Palestinians, or criticized Israel on social media platforms in order to round them up for deportation. Then the State Department also wants to ban any foreign students from even applying for student visas if they've ever been critical of Israel or supported the Palestinians in any way. In other words, screening social media feeds, looking for keywords in chat groups or chat apps from around the world. They're probably using AI and maybe even a little help from the Israelis and some of their high-end software. The Israelis have been doing this sort of stuff for a while now in Gaza. As I said in a post reply last week that has garnered a lot of attention. Now, if I were a student who had thoughts of studying at one of the prestigious universities in the United States, I would rethink that idea. Who would want to study at a university campus that's under constant surveillance, where the slightest anything someone doesn't like about you could get you picked up by Homeland Security, your visa revoked instantly, and you end up in a hellhole of a detention center with no due process of law? No access to a lawyer or a court, with little food and water, and no way to know when or if they're even going to deport you. Students in Russia and China have more rights than that. This is more like something you would hear about happening to people in North Korea and Afghanistan or one of the other very authoritarian countries. This applies to foreign tourists as well. You can be detained indefinitely at any one of the airports in the U.S. for literally nothing. If a customs agent just doesn't like you, they now have that authority. They can just make shit up and off you go, disappeared into the dungeons of Louisiana and Texas. Trump is now threatening French contracting companies who want to work in the U.S. with sanctions if they don't get rid of their DEI and their company standards. And I have an article about that. Let me find it here for you. Like I said, I've got a lot more. I have a lot more articles that I didn't pull up here for you. Tons of them. Here it is. This is the one I wanted to show you. from Europe. U.S. demands French contractors abandon DEI policy, and the French are saying, no, not going to happen. So what's going to happen with French contractors? Are they going to stay out of the United States? You know, if French contractors decide to boycott the U.S., a lot more European countries probably will do so also. I can see Denmark jumping all over that now. So I asked a question again. Would anyone in their right mind want to come to Trump's United States anymore? I mean, if you come, you're going to be searched, sometimes strip searched over next to nothing. Your electronic devices will be searched. And if they find anything they don't like, well, you already know where you're going to end up for an indefinite amount of time. Oh, by the way, these detention centers are run by private contractors who get paid by the amounts of bodies on the premises. So they have a financial incentive to keep people there for as long as they can. Trump's graft is everywhere. Canada's new prime minister has declared the United States a not friendly country now and more of an adversarial neighbor. I'm sure most people in the U.S. have heard about Canadian and Europeans boycotting American products in their retail stores now. Expect this to get much worse. I also said last week that this, and it bears repeating, tourism is going to take a big hit this year. That means millions in lost revenue across the board. Now, you could probably add to that in the fall a serious decline in international student enrollments come the fall semester. More millions in lost student tuitions. How many college campuses will end up closing by 2026? How many tourist attractions will take serious hits? I mean, places like Universal Studios, the Disney parks, SeaWorld parks, Busch Gardens, and so on. How many will still be open by the end of 2026? Add into all of that the new tariffs that went into effect this week. Leading global economists are really harping on an impending stagnant economy and a possible recession soon. I've seen news reports that say illegal border crossings are now down to near nothing now on the northern border and even the southern border. Fentanyl is still an issue, but next to nothing coming across the northern border. And that's what the U.S. is the DEA for. Drug Enforcement Agency. With all the deportations, fear of deportation, and everything else, people are leaving certain states, which is leaving huge gaps in the menial workforces everywhere, especially Florida, apparently. So much so that the state government wants to deregulate child labor laws to help fill in the vacant workforce. And I actually have an article about that. Let me pull that one up for you. So, you know, the state legislature is hammering out the details still, but this doesn't look good for the kids who may be kicked out of the public school systems in these very conservative Republican-run states once the schools close due to lack of money. Remember, Trump wants to close the Department of Education and stop federal funding of public education in the states. And this is what the states are going to, in the U.S., are going to be up against once the federal money runs out. Across the country. With the closing of the Department of Education, these closed schools, you know, there'll be a lot of closed schools across from coast to coast. So the number one question in a lot of people's minds right now, are we looking at a possible soft coup taking place? We're witnessing open defiance of the judiciary, as in ignoring judges and court orders, threats to law firms and higher education campuses, the loss of federal money, they don't bend a knee, and so on. No due process for these young people being picked up around the country with no warrants or identification, sometimes even masked and nothing showing to identify who these people are. This is all straight out of the North Korean, Russian, and Turkish playbooks for authoritarian governments. Then we have people like Elon Musk throwing millions of dollars at a state Supreme Court election to blatantly influence the voters in Wisconsin, which failed spectacularly yesterday. I was also heartened last week to see the massive rallies by Senator Bernie Sanders and Representative Cortez. But where are they now? What happened? Are they still doing rallies somewhere? I have heard in the last few days that a lot of Democrats have been seeing huge numbers of people from all walks of life attend their local district town halls with their Republican counterparts still AWOL, which can't be good for them. It's looking like the only way we, the people, are going to be able to stop this obvious hostile takeover of the U.S. government will be to stage large vocal protests in the streets and harass our Congress people, which is starting to happen. We need to find a way to protect these vulnerable foreign students from the U.S. Gestapo police. Freedom of political speech is still a constitutional right, as enshrined in our Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I want to draw some parallels in what we're witnessing to another period in world history. Who were the first people that Trump came after back in January? The trans and LGBTQ people. What did he do? He removed all their access to government health care. He's trying to ban all trans athletes of any age to compete in anything other than the gender on their birth certificates. I applaud the governor of Maine for standing up to him and protecting these kids, by the way. Good for her. Although I doubt if few in the very rural county I used to live in and up there would say the same, but I digress. Now, he is coming after the most vulnerable students and academics in the country, the non-citizens who came to the U.S. to study and teach, working at cutting-edge research and so on. The U.S. used to be a safe place for them to come and learn and collaborate on new technologies. This on top of the rapid, again, without court hearings, grabbing, detaining, and deportations of people who are in the U.S. waiting for asylum hearings, immigration hearings, and so on. Starting in the early 1920s, the world watched as someone started to come to power in Germany. Hitler's first attempt was the failure in 1923 with the beer hall putsch. They put him in jail where he wrote Mein Kampf. By 1930, the Nazi Party under Hitler started taking more seats than the Reichstag. By 1932, they owned the Reichstag, and in 1933, Hitler took complete control. In the 4 years from 1930 to 1934, Hitler used his power to outlaw all other political parties and sent out his brown shirts to start the purges. Who did he come after first? The trans and LGBTQ people. Who did he come after next? All of the non-citizens, such as the Slavs and the Gypsies. And the rest is history that I don't need to repeat here. Donald Trump is following his own version of the Nazi playbook. Once he has detained all the non-citizens he wants, deported as many as he thinks will satisfy his ego, he will go after someone else. There will always be a someone else. The logical next group would be any green card holders he thinks fits a racial profile he doesn't like, such as Middle Easterners, Southwest Asians, Latinos, and so on. Marco Rubio has already shown how easy it is for him to revoke green cards on a whim. Those in the U.S. that meet the approved racial profiles will be left alone, as long as they don't publicly criticize Israel, support Hamas or Hezbollah, or criticize the Trump government. But by publicly, this includes all social media feeds. If left unchecked, they'll accomplish all of this close to the end of Trump's current four-year term. If the Democrats should retake the House and Senate by 2026, this could change a lot of things, which, given what we're seeing this week, could actually come about very quickly with these special elections between now and November 2026. There are a few special elections coming up in some states that apparently the MAGA cultists are worried about now. So we can expect a bunch of election shenanigans to take place in order for the MAGA people to keep their congressional majority. The most obvious ones will be what's going on in Wisconsin, the attempt to buy elections. The other, more insidious method, is gerrymandering voting districts and voter suppression. Trump's latest EO executive order to change the election laws that's unconstitutional because only the states can change the election laws. That doesn't mean that certain states won't do as they're told by Trump, but hopefully, although enough states will do the right thing by their voters. That didn't stop Adolf Hitler back then, and Donald Trump is making noises again recently on NBC that he may try to circumvent the 22nd Amendment somehow. His guard dog Steve Bannon is working on that, supposedly. Do you see a parallel here? There are two things standing in Trump's way of a fascist takeover: the voters and his age. As one reporter noted today, Trump will be Genocide Joe's age in 4 years. We already know he has some health issues, such as incontinence, as has been reported. He supposedly has to wear an adult diaper as he can't hang onto his bowels, according to some media reports. Will his health continue to decline? Think about it. He's 78 years old. His health will most certainly decline. How much is anyone's guess and will be disclosed, you know, in future reports. Look at how much length the establishment went out of its way to hide President Reagan's dementia back in the day. Biden's dementia last year. Imagine the cover-up for Trump should he really start losing it any more than he already is. Hitler also suffered from health issues, which likely cost him the war eventually, although he was nowhere near Trump's age when he was in power. Do we want a modern version of the Nazi party taking over the U.S.? The only way to stop them is to stand up in whatever fashion that takes. First and foremost, find a way to fend off the ice brown shirts coming after all the international students and scholars around the country. They must be defended now. We can't depend on the judiciary for more than court orders for now. It's going to be up to the people on the campuses and local communities to come together to put a human barrier between the foreign students and the Sturmabteilung, stormtroopers in English. If a large enough human shield were to be put together, even Tom Homan's SS troops would hesitate. That is, unless Trump invokes the Insurrection Act of 1792. And we have learned recently just how much Trump likes resurrecting these ancient laws to use to his advantage. This is how Hitler came to absolute power by 1934, by using the then laws of the Reichstag and the fears of the people to give him what he wanted. Trump is doing the same thing here in 2025 in the United States, trying to consolidate absolute power in the executive branch of federal government by any means possible, as quickly as possible, before the people wake up to what he's doing. He's nearly there. I will say that this is where Trump and Hitler veer off their paths together. Hitler was given his power, and Trump is trying to take it before anyone notices that it's gone. We're still early in the game, and people are starting to wake up to what's going on. But we're too slow to stop the chaos right now, and Trump is counting on that. The real defense against this onslaught is to get out in front of this now and start physically defending the people he's targeting. We may not be able to rescue all of them, but we need to save as many as we can before it's too late. If you value human life and human rights as granted to all the people in the U.S., whether you're a citizen or just a legal visitor, find a way to defend these non-citizens in your community. This has nothing to do with whether someone supports the Palestinians or is pro-Israeli or something in between. It's about fighting for people's constitutional rights. It's about the law and enforcing it for everyone, not just for a select group that Trump favors. It's about due process under the law afforded to all peoples, no matter their citizenship status. How far are you willing to go to stand up for the law of the land? Do we want to fight against a 2025 version of a Nazi takeover of the Reichstag? Mike Johnson and his Republicans have already given Trump the U.S. version of the chancellorship. Musk has, and I bet still is in private, saluting with a mouth, Sieg Heil. If the Republicans in the MAGA cult thought they could get away with it, they probably would be too. By the way, Sieg Heil translates to Hail Victory in English, in case anyone didn't know. If the judges don't find a way to start enforcing their court orders within the next few weeks, it may become too late. Trump will have subverted the DOJ completely, and the judiciary will become powerless without their own enforcement troops. We've already seen how mindless his redneck attorney general, Pamela Jo Bondi, is. She'll do as she's told no matter what, whether it violates standing laws or not. As far as she's concerned, Donald Trump is the law of the land. Then there is the matter of certain court districts who will side with the MAGA party no matter what. I told you about the Fifth Circuit Court down south. For the most part, there are 7 district appeals courts that are majority Republican. There are others that are divided in their loyalties. This could prove to be a problem. Again, Trump is probably counting on all this. All we can do is fight and see what happens. Will we see judges make rulings based on their loyalties to Trump instead of the laws as they're written? You can plan on it, which is why all these people being snatched up are being shipped down to the jurisdiction of the Fifth Circuit Court. There may be other district courts and judges that will fall in line too. Then there are the federal Supreme. There's the federal Supreme Court with its own issues with Trump appointed justices, three who are diehard MAGA cultists and three others who are religious conservatives who are likely to side with the top three on most things. So much for the will of the people. This is how the United States loses democracy. A small group of British colonists started a revolution against this very thing back in the late 18th century. They were a minority at first against the Tory loyalists at the time. Is it time for history to repeat itself so we can take back our country from the tyrants? There will always be those in the country who are just fine with everything Trump is doing, as long as it doesn't affect them directly. There are more of us who object to this than there are those who are fine with all of this. Think about that for a minute. Despite what the MAGA people are saying, Trump did not win the election by a majority. He won by default because too many people stayed home instead of voting. They still stayed home in protest of the candidates the establishment told us we had to vote for. Now we see the folly of that decision. Even if you didn't want to vote for either Democrat or the MAGA Republican, you could have voted for a third party. At least you would have stood for something. Make up for it now. Get out there and defend these international students and scholars and researchers from the tyrannical government. If the judges see us out there standing up for these people, some of them will do more to help. Maybe we can convince some local law enforcement to stand with us against the feds. One can only hope. It all starts with our voices. Will you help? Write and call your congresspeople. Attend town halls in your area if and when they're held. If you feel like joining a protest, go for it. I'm writing emails and sending letters to my district politicians this week. I don't expect much beyond more than form letters telling me that they're listening to me, but I'm trying. If enough people flood their inboxes and postal boxes, they either have to finally pay attention or we vote them out for being AWOL. At least we try, for as long as we still have free and fair elections anyway. As my Canadian friend says at the end of all our media content, solidarity wins. So that's all I have for you. Again, I'm. This is your call to action. Get out there. Get a hold of your congresspeople. Let them know how unhappy you are. We don't like Nazis in our country. Even though they call themselves MAGA, they're Nazis, okay? They've got the playbook straight out of the playbook from the 1920s and the 1930s. And if you step back, you can see it in plain sight. So that's all I've got for you. And now listen to my little advert here, and I'll come back with an episode of The Priest. I want to take this minute to explain how you can support this podcast and to advertise my book. The podcast is free and can be found on these major mobile podcast apps, on my YouTube channel, and my Substack page at Crown of Beha, the Tree of Life at Substack.com. To help defray my cost, I'm asking for donations of any amount so everyone has an opportunity to watch or listen to this podcast anywhere in the world. I set up a donations tab at rss.com and the Village Oak Tree, and on my website at www.crownofbeha.com, and I'll link to PayPal for your security. This way you can use any currency you wish from around the world, providing PayPal is available to you in your country. So now let me tell you about my book. Fugitives in the New United States, which can be found in all major online book retailers around the world, comes in hardcover, paperback, and ebook version. You don't want to wait for them to print you one. You can also buy a hardcover or paperback edition from me directly through the bookstore page of my website, and I'll ship it right out to you. This is a dystopian fiction about what the United States might look like by 2031 under a Christian theocracy. It's full of drama, action, and romance, set against a backdrop of U.S. societal collapse. The story follows a trio of resistance fighters as they navigate across Upper New England in their quest to escape from the authoritarian regime. So that's all I have here, and I appreciate any effort you can to support this endeavor that I'm doing, no matter how small it may be. Thank you very much. All right, welcome back. So as I said, here's the latest episode of The Priest. And I will do is I will read that to you here. And this one is The Priest, formerly known as Bob, part 29. Something Wicked This Way Comes. According to my Rand McNally, it was about 650 miles to Fort Bragg. I was a little curious why no one in the group had asked why we were going there. I had thought about it, and the reason I came up with was it'll be cooler there. Yeah, that was only part of the reason. I liked that it would be cooler, but what I really liked was that, according to Tiki's postcard, there was a tiki bar. That's not something you just go around telling people when you're running for your life in the apocalypse. What would they think if I mentioned that my only real motivation was to sit on the patio of a bar overlooking the ocean and drinking Mai Tais? It could be worse motivations, but I think mine was right down near the bottom of the barrel. Despite what I told myself about who I had become, the altruistic hero of the end times, I was basically just a self-involved dick who was not at all interested in other people's welfare. This line of thought started me spiraling down into a pit of depression, and it brought on a full-blown case of imposter syndrome and dragged me perilously close to the beginning of an orgy of overcompensation, which would make everything that poor thought about me true. I guess no matter how bad things get, no matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter what challenges you face, which according to everything I used to read would make me stronger, I'm still the same weak, ineffectual person I always was. There was this book I read once about a guy who was given the opportunity to go back in time, knowing everything he knew, and try to fix the stupid shit he had done. What he found out was, even knowing what the outcome was going to be, he still did the same stupid shit. I really did think we, as a species, could change for the better. But I guess the apocalypse and the way I was feeling right now showed that for the lie it always was. To recap, for the future people who will no doubt read this journal with great interest and declare me some sort of hero and have a holiday named after me and maybe a building or a bridge, people don't change when they're experiencing an apocalypse. They just become magnified versions of whoever they were. Whatever costume they wore pre-collapse is torn off post-collapse. If they were nice or insecure pre, then they are wishy-washy and scared of their own shadows post. If they were dick swabs pre, then they are the uber-mega-massive dick swabs post. I guess that's just who humans are, a pathetic bunch of reactionary idiots. I sometimes wish that I could give my stupid brain a rest. It's like having bad neighbors in an upstairs apartment who clog dance all night. We've been making reasonable progress, pulled farther away from Las Vegas. We hadn't seen anybody following, but Dolly assured us they were there. There were a few towns along the way, but we found out that unlike the places that got really hot really quick, these places had been picked through. Our supplies were running low, so we started rationing in hopes of making stuff last until we got closer to Lake Tahoe. I had a friend in the old world that was big time into ultra-distance walking, and he would sponsor a 50-mile march every year in honor of Theodore Roosevelt and JFK. He told me that for the first 4 hours, people would be pretty talkative. That dropped off and ended entirely at about 7 hours, and then it was quiet for the rest of the trip. We were well past that marker, and unless there was a reason to communicate, we kept our mouths shut, except for the Tiki and Stuffy. They were like goddamn retards on speed. I wonder if I can say that word now that the world has fallen apart. No one liked the word retard before, and they liked it, but they couldn't say it in a polite company. Were all the words that were politically incorrect in the old times okay to say now? I'm pretty sure there's no one policing words anymore. I'm sure as I can be that if any humans survive anywhere in the future, that they may start to re-embrace certain standards that dictate how you can and can't use language. I wonder if the humans that make it will all be woke, or if they're all be whatever the opposite of woke is. Tiki and Stuffy won't shut up. They were like kids in the backseat of a car during a long drive. Stuffy, for as smart as he was, could do the goofy kid thing with the best of them, and they kept each other entertained by playing apocalypse versions of I Spy, Slug Bug, and the alphabet game with apocalypse dictated modifications. They got bored pretty fast with Slugbug because there were no more Volkswagen Beetles. I spy with my little eye worked out okay because Stuffy used it as an opportunity to teach Tiki new words, and the alphabet game came to a standstill because after you got through A is for apocalypse, B is for bad, C is for collapse, D is for desert, neither one of them could think of anything for E. Anyway, go back to the alphabet game. Sometimes Stuffy told Tiki about stuff in the old world, like how children behaved on trips. Tiki loved this. They would both start saying things like, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" And this could go on for hours. They would make a song of it or some other insanity. When they started singing Marching to Pretoria, I had reached my limit. "What is wrong with you two?" They stopped singing and looked at me and then each other. "When I was young," said Stuffy, "my intellect did not allow for frivolous behavior. I had no traditional childhood, and I see no reason to deny myself the admittedly inferior version of being a kid that Tiki and I are enjoying." Me too, said Tiki, whose traditional childhood had been torn away from him and replaced with violence and abuse. I kind of sank into a pit of depression after that, mostly because I had been a dick and I didn't want to admit it to myself. Stuffy and Tiki were now joined by Dolly and Poor, who began singing and marching and staring at me like I was some sort of freak. We decided, since we hadn't actually seen any pursuers, that we would go back to sleeping in the day and walking at night, which suited me just fine because the heat, although dry, was still pretty intense. It was getting towards the time period formerly known as winter, which meant it would cool down to around 80 degrees at night and the days would be a brisk 110. I really missed AccuWeather, and I missed sitting in an air conditioning house in the hottest part of the day, and I missed coffee shops and dive bars and living a life that wasn't solely directed at staying alive. We found a cellar to hole up in and got ready to go to sleep. Just as we were drifting off, Dolly sprang up and went to the door. He woke the rest of us up, and he put his finger to his lips, admonishing us to remain quiet. We all heard the sound of a group walking in their soft voices as they began to search for us house by house. "Shit," Dolly hissed. "Maybe we should have killed them all." So that's all I have for you, everyone, here. I appreciate you listening to the watching the show today, and I hope you enjoyed it. You'll return again to talk about what the world we live in. Please like, subscribe, and reply, share the videos and podcasts, however you watch or listen. The goal here is to resist the people who want to take our freedoms away from us. I appreciate everyone around the world, no matter who or where you are. Together, using independent media like this, we can resist the authoritarian oligarchs. As I say goodbye this week, I wish to leave you with this Irish Rebellion quote as we try to survive another week. "Courage is not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. It is the audacity to dare, to dream, and to fight. Slán go fóill."